Wealthy entrepreneur Andrew Yang is tweeting out that he's qualified for the next round of Democratic presidential debates in September, joining Biden, Booker, Buttigieg, Sanders, Warren, Harris, Klobuchar, and O'Rourke in getting 2% in four polls and donations from 130,000 people. We've been speaking with the candidates. All our interviews so far, including with Yang, are at herenow.org. And we'll soon add Washington Governor Jay Inslee. He joins us now from Seattle. Governor Inslee, welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Well, you are billing yourself as the 2020 climate candidate. Many people know that, and we want to talk about that. But two mass shootings, you know, within 13 hours. If you were president in this moment with Mitch McConnell leading a Republican majority Senate, what would you do?
Well, first, we have to remove Donald Trump, who I correctly identified as a force allowing and enabling white nationalism in the White House to be removed. And I said that at the last debate stage. Several days later, we had this horrendous event in El Paso, clearly motivated by racial animus.
But what do you say to Americans who say these shootings have been going on for decades?
I say that there's no reason to make them worse by having a president who will wake up every morning trying to figure out how to divide us. Now, we also need meaningful common sense gun legislation. I have believed this for a long time. Just give an example what I mean by that. In 1994, I was a freshman legislator from Eastern Washington in a Republican district, and the bill to ban assault weapons came up, and I knew if I voted to ban assault weapons, I would lose my seat in Congress. And I went ahead and voted to ban assault weapons. I did lose my seat, but I have never regretted that vote for one heartbeat. We now hope that if we have a president to lead, we can again ban assault weapons, as I have proposed. We can do the things that we've done in Washington State under my governorship. We've now passed three common sense gun safety legislation, making sure we have extreme risk protection orders, make sure we close the gun show loophole. We now need to close the Charleston loophole. And importantly, we need to empower the federal government to fight white nationalism.
You mentioned a couple of things. The Charleston loophole, that allows a firearms dealer who has started a background check but hasn't heard back from the FBI within three business days, they can go ahead with the sale. You would close that. How do you propose to ferret out white nationalist extremists when much of what they are saying online, for instance, some have noted that the president has used some of the same language, but they have free speech?
Well, we have been somewhat successful, well, considerably successful, fighting international terrorism. The number of plots that have been interdicted is actually very, very impressive. And our intelligence resources, while respecting First Amendment rights, can be successful if they are targeted to the threat. But this president has been consistent in diminishing the ability of the federal government to protect us from white nationalism. He has reduced the actual dollar resources going into these events, even though the FBI director just most recently said that the majority of arrests for terrorism have been involved in white nationalism and domestic terrorism. So this has been a conscious effort by this occupant of the White House to diminish our ability to protect citizens from this threat.
Let's move to climate change, because you have said you want to be the climate change candidate. This is going to be your first priority. You want to shift towards 100% clean energy, a moonshot federal project to slash emissions, a climate test for all new infrastructure, a national prohibition on fracking, a global climate mobilization to reshape foreign policy around climate change. What do you say, though, to people who say money? How do you have a check on how things are built without hurting the construction industry? How do you prohibit fracking when that's allowed us to move away from coal? How would you pay for it?
Well, we are going to make prodigious amounts of money and create prodigious numbers of jobs by building a new clean energy economy. This will be the largest building project in the United States since the Interstate Freeway System. And the reason is we have to rebuild our physical infrastructure to not waste so much energy. That is an enormous opportunity for jobs for carpenters and laborers and electricians, not just physicists and mechanical engineers. Look, the expensive route is allow forest fires to continue to burn down whole towns like has happened in California. It is too expensive to allow floods to continue to destroy billions of dollars of agricultural productivity in the Midwest. It is too expensive not to act.
You're getting a lot of applause, too, for this, but you're also getting some criticism. For instance, you want to put a price on carbon so people will, you know, be nudged to use less of it. We're reading activists in your state saying that is so yesterday. You know, they've moved on to no coal, period. And they say you made missteps and, you know, played catch up with local issues. And these are people like Andrea Rogers of the group Our Children's Trust or 350 Seattle co-founder Michael Foster.
Well, I don't know what you're referring to because I've not heard any of those criticisms. In fact, Ocasio-Cortez has called my plan the gold standard. Greenpeace has rated it as the highest energy.
Oh, no program. Doubt. You've gotten tons of applause.
I just got started. Bill McKibben just sent out a tweet saying, you know, asking people to help out. This is clearly by every single group that has evaluated the clean energy visions of the multiple candidates, and they are 24. All of them agree that mine is the most aggressive, most robust, and comprehensive. So I really don't know what you're referring to.
Well, these are local activists from Washington State.
I'll have to give them a call because I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, call up Michael Foster. He's with 350 Seattle.
Oh, yes. I do know Michael. Yeah. He's griped about everything that the Mariners are not winning the series yet. So I know Michael. I will rather call Greenpeace and have a discussion about the best program, which is clearly mine.
Well, as I said, I am acknowledging you have been, you know, applauded for this. And we are also, you know, we want to ratchet up concerns about climate change. But that brings us to a headline in the New York Times. Climate change is catching on with voters. Why isn't Jay Inslee? You well know that you're not in that top, you and many others aren't in that top tier of five candidates. Why is that? Because you are so passionate about the immediacy of this problem, the fact that there can't be failure. Polls show people agree with you. What's the disconnect? What do you need to do?
Well, two things we are catching on. Since the last debate, we've had over 20,000 new donors. We're now about 112,000. But the fact of the matter is that 2/3 of Americans could not pick me out of a lineup yet. Mm. And we are still at the stage of a campaign of introducing ourselves to the American public. And that is the experience of Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter as well when they started. And so we're just in the building process, and that takes time. I do want to come back and mention one other thing on why my climate policy has been called the best by far. And the reason is because it actually complies with the scientific certainty of the dates by which we have to get off carbon. And mine is the only plan that actually guarantees we will do that, get off coal in 10 years and fossil fuels in our electrical grid in 15. And the other candidates, I think, have not been as ambitious as the science demands. So that's why we're getting accolades.
Okay. Jay Inslee, former lawyer. You credit a lot of your appreciation for the natural world, according to the New York Times, to your father, who was a high school science teacher. For people, as you said, who couldn't pick you up out of a lineup, which I doubt you'll ever be in one, what is something you'd want them to know about you that they don't know?
I'm going to go for two, if that's okay. I'm going to go for a bonus round.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I would want them to know is why I'm running for president, and I think that's maybe the most important thing, and that is that I've been a very successful governor. We've got the best economy in the country. We've had enormous progressive policies that have been adopted under my watch. But I decided that on my final day on Earth, I want to be able to look at my three grandchildren and tell them that I did everything humanly possible to save them from this enormous cataclysm of the climate crisis. And that is a personal commitment. The second thing I would hope that they would know that is not the singular accomplishment that I have had or will have. If you look at our record, the very first public health care option in America we've adopted in our state, the very first long-term care plan for our senior citizens in American history we've adopted. We now have the strongest gender pay equity law in the United States. So what I hope they would know is I have an intense, passionate, and very focused approach to save us from the climate crisis. But that's not all you'll get if I'm president of the United States. I've got quite a bit to offer, and I hope people will take a look.
Washington Governor and presidential candidate Jay Inslee, thank you so much for taking some time with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Don't forget to vote.
We've got some time. And out there, is the climate crisis a consideration for you in picking a presidential candidate? Let us know at hereandnow.org.